can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists,
But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone. Now, let's start the timer. Jay, how do you feel today?
Well, we are continuing our recording from last week, so I'm still just as green as I was last week. It's last week still. I have finished my chicken salad I was making last week, and so now I'm going to serve it up and probably eat it while I watch you guys.
Nice.
What about you? How are you, Anthony?
I'm doing well still, obviously. I think last week we left off on talking about the ownership of learning about the other person in a parent-child relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And how that really does distinctly fall upon the parent in most situations.
Yes.
It is. It's funny that you bring it up because my mom is really, really bad about this. I know she loves me. And I know that she's like come a long way, but her issue has nothing to do with me being gay. It just has to do with her probably needing to go see another psychiatrist rather than trying to get her GP to diagnose her. But it's just, you know, she struggles with trying to talk about things that don't necessarily relate to her. And she has to have that, like, validation in conversations. And so she doesn't ask a lot of questions. And a couple of times, when I first started therapy, my therapist recommended that I, like, stop and I tell her those things. Like, hey, you know, when you call, you don't ask me about me. You just talk at me. And then when you're done talking at me, you say bye. I brought it up a couple of times. I say a couple of times, several times. And even still today, it's very much the same issue. So I've just stopped doing that. Because at some point, I think that that's not necessarily as on me. But now I'm not as like, I don't get as offended by it because I also don't answer my phone every time she calls.
Same. It also seems like, it seems like that generation's one of them that you can't really tell them, oh, hey, like, the way you're handling this situation's probably wrong. Or, you know, maybe you should evaluate and try this differently to make something change. And that generation's one that's very much like, no, the way I've done it has worked all my life. Why on earth would I ever adjust it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I also think it is, and I know we've talked about this before, but I think it's because they also struggle with feeling like if they have to admit that they've done something wrong, that makes them a bad person in some way.
It makes them a failure.
Wrong, like something wrong with them, which also explains why we've all had to unlearn that in our lives.
Yeah.
Because we were raised by them. And so It was funny because I know we've talked about it before, but at one point in time, my mom and dad, so my dad has moved back from Missouri to Oklahoma, and he lives in Stillwater now with my mom, and they were getting, are you kidding me, man? They were getting utilities set up in their new place, and like, I don't know, she accidentally had paid, I guess my mom had paid like us like more on the credit card than she meant to by accident, and you would have thought that she was being framed for murder. The way that she was like, no, it must not, it had to be them. It was their mistake. And I was like, look, like it's happened to me before. I have totally 100% paid the wrong amount on a credit card. I thought I hit pay this amount and instead I hit pay full balance. So instead of paying, I don't know, however many $100, I paid a few $1,000s. And, and he did to call them and be like, hey, so whoops.
Hi, so you can't have all my money.
It's funny because they were like, oh no, it's fine, just, you know, if it doesn't hit or if your bank doesn't let it go through because you don't have the funds, then we can just give you the return payment fee back. And I was like, no, it's gonna go through, but it's gonna make me very sad.
It's gonna go through, I just don't want it to.
I'm just gonna be really sad when it does go through.
Reuse this credit card over and over again to recover.
I have to call my mortgage company and make some arrangements. But
hi, anyway. Do you accept nothing as payment?
But like, it took me like a lot of coaxing and a lot of reassuring for me to be like, look, like people make mistakes, man. It's okay. Like if something happens like that, and even if it is your fault, like it's okay, because people aren't perfect. Then you shouldn't expect that to be the case.
Yeah. And that. So that's kind of one of my situations with like employees and coworkers and stuff like that, how panicked they get about something or if something would go wrong. And I got to the point where I was just like, oh yeah, shit goes wrong. If there's a way that you can like toss man for blame, yeah, fine. Because you know why? I'm just gonna be like, ah, shit happens. And you know what's gonna happen? We're gonna fix it and move on.
It's not gonna, like, unless it is a I caught the building on fire mistake, like, we're just going to move on. It's just going to be like, whoops, and we'll fix it, and we know better next time. Problem solved.
Yeah, I said each time this happens, we just learn from our mistakes and prevent it from happening again, or find ways to prevent it.
Yeah, but it's crazy because we have so much blame culture in America where people want to find, like, who's at fault for things.
Oh, there's always we have to criminalize someone if something goes wrong.
Yep. And I feel like in corporate America that is so counterintuitive.
Oh my god.
Because you're not
fixed. But everyone jumps right on it.
Oh yeah, because it's easier to get onto the excuse my phrasing here, but witch hunt. Than it is to just be like, hey, things are fucked. Let's see what we need to do to fix them.
Because, and it's wild how like management's that way.
Because they get scared for themselves. And it's a work culture thing. I think if you work in a culture that is, that understands that people are human and that people do make mistakes and that those things are going to happen, you're not going to feel that way, or you're going to feel less that way. And when it does happen, your leadership is going to say, hey, it happens. Don't worry about it. Let's figure it out. What do we need to do to fix this? Let's take it from blame mode to resolution mode.
Yeah. I had to fill out like a exit interview situation. And it's supposed to be, you know, like, what do you dislike about the company? Blah, 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 blah.
Pick something.
And I had three topics that I wrote about, which everything was very professional. But one of them I wrote about was last year we started this hard push for a culture change within the company. Mm-hmm. And I talked about, I said, I get what you're doing. And I think it's excellent to open people's minds to this. I learned all this in school and I think it helped me a ton. But I said, it's also hard to get people to really open up and process what they're being told. And I said, and then on top of that, the way it's being portrayed, it feels like the burden's being laid on all the lower end employees and management's not even participating. They're good at saying the words, but not actually understanding what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's my biggest complaint. It's just, we're being told how we have to be aware of separate realities and things like that. And I said, I am. I work very well knowing that. But so many managers don't understand exactly what they're telling me to do.
What a weird terminology to use for that, too. Separate realities. Do they mean it just as, like, people learn and work differently than other people?
Precisely. Everyone thinks and one of the examples they give us is, think of a dog. That's it. And then what they do is they start asking you, like,
they just equated everyone to dogs.
But I was like, meow. No, I'm kidding. But they ask, they'll like start picking up people and they'll be like, okay, so when I said picture a dog, what's the first thing that went in your head? And then you start to realize that everyone's picturing a different style of dog.
Right.
And so that's what the whole
sense, because that's what would happen.
Because that's what the whole thing is being like, oh, just because you thought of a big brown dog does not mean that everyone thinks of a big brown dog. And so it was trying to make people understand that, yeah, your thinking may be great. Others also have great thinking. So you have to understand that.
But not every other.
No. Good Lord, no. No, there are some people in there that I swore were imagining an anteater.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I do get it, and I understand that, like, it is difficult to give somebody broad direction and have them come up with the same solution that you do, so there is more of a need for granular explanations.
Yeah.
But there is a large difference between, like, if you were assigning a work assignment, you wouldn't say, I need you to draw me a dog, unless the end goal was just to get a drawing of a dog. If I were, let's say, a manager somewhere, and I needed someone to draw a picture of a brown dog with black spots and blue eyes with a short face and XYZ, like, tail type, I would give them those details. Everything in between is up to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's as long
based
as
their discretion.
Exactly. So as long as you're accomplishing the end goal, if you give people what it is that you're trying to accomplish so often, if you give them the breathing room to do it, they will come up with what you're looking for in their own way, and they'll enjoy, not necessarily enjoy doing it, but they'll like it better than if you held their hand through the whole thing.
Yeah. Which, one of the things I noticed was, micromanaging is very prominent in a corporate world. And when that happens, you're to the point where you have managers being like, okay, this is what you're going to do, and then these are all the steps you need to take to achieve it. And there's no room for using my brain.
What brain?
If, you're not wrong. But, and so, yeah, it was like, I'd be like, well, why won't this way work? And they're like, well, because I want this. And I was like, oh, okay. So, like, I'm just supposed to do what you say and nothing else.
Which it is so dumb, because I just, you're underutilizing people in those situations.
I feel like you're really demeaning your team down to only what your brain can produce.
Yeah. I mean, essentially that is what you're doing, because if you, micromanaging to that degree shows an extreme lack of faith in people. Whether anybody consciously knows it or not, they're going to realize it. And it's going to be because essentially you're saying, like, I want you to do this, but I cannot trust you to fill in the gaps that, you know, so I need everything to be exactly this way because I don't trust you to come up with something that is a good solution.
Even though I may not even understand everything about your work, I'm going to tell you how to do it anyways. And I'm like, all right.
Mm-hmm. Which, I don't know. I've always hated micromanagement. I've never been good at it. Either doing it or getting it. But micromanagement to me as like a leader is just like, it's so exhausting. I don't want to have to think about that. I got my own things going on.
Well, it's exhausting and it's just, I mean, it was so unproductive for me. Because I was just like, oh, well, I don't even have to figure this out. So I'm just going to, like, procrastinate for a while.
I mean, yeah, basically. And I had this manager who would, she would micromanage in a very different way. To the point that at one point in time, I was a general manager and I had to say, hey, look, you guys hired me to run this business. If they wanted just you to run it, they wouldn't have hired me. They would have you and then everybody else under you, and my position wouldn't exist. But it yeah. still didn't really resolve anything because she'd get very particular about stuff. We have like these, oh gosh, we'd have these general manager meetings, and we're supposed to be designing, you know, our own action plans. And every time we'd go into them, like the first few times I was really hopeful because I was young and stupid.
What's different? I mean, besides young. Well,
I'm not young anymore. Exactly. hang on while I set my other timer.
I was like, side note, I need you to know this chicken salad was perfect.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous because I am hungry for dinner and I'm sitting here cooking food for just like having things throughout the week. But anyways, we'd go into these meetings and she would basically shit on our ideas and then come up with her own plan. And we kept not doing well as a team, like compared to the other districts. And what it boiled down to is like other districts let their people do things individually. Like they did yeah. have like district plans, but they let their managers fill in the gaps. And God, it makes such a huge difference. And I just, I'm a firm believer that micromanagement in more often than more situations than not does not work.
Yeah. The only people I think it works well are the ones that really don't like to think for themselves and want to be told what to do, and then perfect. Fine. But if that's the case, you need to hire a team of people that work that way.
Well, and you, I mean, you need to treat that person that way. Because unless you're hiring several clones of the same person, you're never going to have a team full of the same people who learn and work the same way.
Yeah.
And it's so detrimental to people to not like individualize your work style with theirs.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Well, and like my last, well, it wasn't my direct supervisor, but my boss's boss. Super nice guy. Very, very, very nice. Very, very motivated. Like, I really appreciated him in a lot of ways. But it definitely felt like he directed everything. And that anything beyond that, like, it almost came off as, like, anything that you thought of that he wasn't a part of was just kind of, like, a waste of time.
Yes, very that.
And I'm like, this is so, so demotivating, which really annoys me because you're genuinely like, you have so much potential. You just need to steer away from how you're handling it right now. And I would have told him that, but he used to do one-on-ones with us on a regular basis. And then kind of at the later half of last year, they fell apart, and I'm like, is it because you're worried I was going to say something?
Oh, damn.
Because
did,
I was
on all that?
No, but I kind of want to now. Like, I wish I would have. I didn't really think about it until on my drive back today. But yeah, I kind of want to have like a lunch with him and be like, I really like you, but did you stop doing these because you thought I was going to like be blunt? Because I would have, but I feel like you'd want to hear it.
Yeah, that's so wild, too, because, like, it's the same people who talk about, like, having thick skin and stuff and telling you to have thick skin who, you know, don't have thick enough skin to take those conversations.
Oh, my God, yeah. So many people are that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that was that same boss I was telling you about. It was very much a, like, she would tell you that you have to, like buck up and do the, you know, the work life instead of work life balance. We had work life blend, which meant that work blended into your life whenever it wanted to, but your life was never blending into work.
Right.
And that was all that it meant. It was just fun terminology that I think she thought was hilarious, or not hilarious, but she thought was very like, this describes exactly what I'm looking for. You get both. And the answer was not that you got both. And what it was she would get like really frustrated with the amount of communication that she got. And it was because it was retail and she'd come to us from a business to business channel and she wasn't used to it, I don't think. And this is speculation on my part. I don't really know 100% for sure, but speculation. And I get it because retail is, it's a whole different thing. It's like, as long as stores are open, you're getting messages. And even after that, I can't tell you the number of times I had to go up there on my day off or after hours to do something. And so it came with the territory. I got it. But it was also different because the boss, like the manager who hired me, was very much like, look, unless there are extenuating circumstances, you're going to work 45 hours a week. You're going to work 9 hours a day on the days that you work, and you're going to work from your desk for your lunch. And then I'm not going to work. If you are not there, I will do my best to talk to your assistants, because that's why we have them. That's why they exist. And this boss did not utilize them at all, which also pissed me off because I was like, we're supposed to be developing them. And if we never put them in situations where they need to stand on their own, they're never going to develop.
Yeah. And that is genuinely how I feel about normal jobs. Like, if we're not letting the team develop, then what are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, there's no real sense in having, I think that you should be developing your people at all times in a very real way. Like, whether that means actively or not, but giving them things that they can do to help, like, better themselves in a way that they appreciate. Because I don't know, I had this one employee who hated, I mean, they just hated the job, and I could tell they hated the job. And so they'd be like mediocre like 99.9% of the time, which is fine because mediocre still met quotas and shit, so whatever. But at one point I was like, hey, we need to talk about this because I can just tell you're not happy, and that is frustrating to me because I have to come and work with you all the time. And that funk translates to me, and I don't like it. And I'm sure the other team members don't appreciate it. So what is it that you want to do? Because if it isn't here, then is it something else in the company? Is it something not in the company? Because if it's something not in the company, we have all kinds of programs like tuition reimbursement, tuition assistance. We have all these different training programs you can do. Let's get you somewhere else if you just hate it here. And I feel like it's things like that that my boss right now does that for me, and I appreciate it so, so much.
Yeah. I chuckled because a couple days ago, I was sitting at some random bar in Santa Fe where I was like snacking and having some specialty drinks. Oh, speaking of, I asked him what he recommended, and he said this one. And I think it's just because he likes making it, but it was some vodka drink mixed with cranberry and something else. And he like lit the martini glass on fire and then sprinkled cinnamon over it. So it was this huge puff of flame. Hell yeah. It was, and then the drink was delicious. Anyway, so he was kind of a quirky bartender, but we were sitting there chatting.
He's not like other bartenders.
But then he had two friends that came in that sat next to me and we all were chatting. Well, anyways, I don't know how we got in the conversation, but I started talking about, somehow we steered into my little marketing business consulting job, and I hadn't said it yet, but he's told me that he's like, oh yeah, I used to do marketing, and he was like spitting out all this stuff. And I was like, really? And so I like I'm questioning it. I was like, and then finally he goes, I'll bite. You're thinking about something. And I said, well, okay. So I'm trying to expand my little side gig. And I said, and it would be marketing would be a lot of it right now. And I was kind of telling him, he goes, oh, so this is what you want. And I was like, yeah, I want that. But I said, but for example, you have marketing experience. So if you were somebody that I'd actually brought on as a contract employee or something, we would just find businesses that would utilize what you like doing. I was like, I don't ever want someone to come in and be like, ugh, I hate doing this, because you're going to give me shitty work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, I want you to be doing what fits you. Otherwise, you're not a fit for the company, and that's fine. Or if we can get you and find a way to utilize your skill to expand the business, even better.
Even better. See, that's like if, the type if, of... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, well, and that's kind of it. I was like, fuck, if I was able to do that, then I would just get people with a whole bunch of different, like, dreams that they're trying to chase, and we could just expand out a whole bunch of different ways, and then you guys would eventually just be, like, the VP of that portion of the company. Like, you'd be VP of social media marketing, you'd be VP of editing and design, whatever. Like, that's... I feel like you're benefiting your company and your employees that way.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, you really are. You're giving people a happier life by giving them satisfying work. Right. And I think it just, if you have a genuine interest in people, it makes such a huge difference, because we've all worked for bosses who don't have genuine interest in you. And it's funny because I feel like we got off on this tangent talking about, like, the onus of, like, parent-children relationships. And the boss-employee relationship is like that to its own degree, where, like, at the end of the day, it is on you as a boss to learn about your employees and to learn what motivates them and to learn how you can help them. Because it's not really their job to tell you all that and volunteer all that. And most of the time, they won't think of it because they're just coming there to work.
Yeah. Which, that's another thing I always tell people. I'm like, the reason I'm here is not because I'm passionate about corporate life. I'm here because society requires me to work, and this is a niche I fit in, and I make money off of it.
Yep, yep.
I said society requires me to make funds for trade, so I have to work.
That was my boss at one point during my... It was my annual review, and one of the... They've got these different segments that aren't really, like, measurables. They're not really KPIs, but one of them is passion. And it's a scale of 1 to 4, or I guess 0 to 4, as it were. And he was like, and I rated you a 3. And he looked at me like I was going to be offended. And I was like, no, that seems right. I was like, look.
Out of 45.
I was like, look, I understand there is, like, a bit here that, you know, people who are going to love coming in here and working here, it's never going to be me. I like my job. I like what I do. I'm never going to wake up and be like, whoa, I get to go and work in the exciting industry of industrial plastic wraps today. Like, it's just not going to happen.
That's kind of it. I tell people, I'm like, it's hard to get me passionate about somebody else's business and products unless it's something I really, really just am, like, over the moon happy about. Like, I'm a person, if you want passion, you're going to have to put me somewhere where we're doing, like, cool things for cancer research or, something pet related. Like, we are doing something like, whatever we're doing is really bringing good to the world. That is where you're finally going to get me in passion. And normally that's falling in nonprofit, because otherwise everything profitable starts getting clouded by greed. And I keep talking about wanting to expand my side gig, and I'm so, like, I really want to. I want to make it a legit company, all that jazz. But I also want to make sure that I'm not that guy that's just like, hey, you're doing this to make me richer.
I mean, that's really most companies you're ever going to work for, which is so upsetting, because I think so much of America goes underutilized because we don't have people who are chasing dreams or passions anymore. We have people who go to work to work because they have an understanding that going to work for anything else is not feasible. It's not something that is ever going to get you anywhere.
Right.
And so, like, yeah, I mean, I would wholeheartedly appreciate a boss who just, you know, cared about me and what I was looking to do. And my boss does that. And he does ask me those questions. I don't know that any of the creativity that I want in my job in my life is ever going to show up in the form of analytics for a plastic wrap company, but who knows? But I like the problem solving aspect of my work.
Oh, I'm so excited about the next chapter I'm about to go into, because it's going to be a lot of problem solving, and I'm pumped to actually get to use my brain to resolve it.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. I had a my coworker, one of my other coworkers who works doing a little bit of a different job than I do, come to my office on Friday to try to pick my brain on solving a problem that came up in a meeting. And I was like, look, it sounds like what you need is more information. And you came to me because you know I can get you more information. Even though, like, yeah, I know I
can,
it's not like
I can get you the good
job, but I can get you what you want. And so anyways,
you're looking for the good stuff.
I was like, I tell you what, I tell you what, I'll help you and I will do some research for you and I will send you more information. And I think I can help point you in the right direction. Just by giving you extra data. I'm not going to like do the whole thing for you by any means, but I'll get you the data that you don't already have. And so but it made me feel good. It made me feel like I was excited to actually work on that. So,
yeah. Which that was kind of the unique part is when I was in my old team forever ago, I had a boss that, don't get me wrong, he was pretty dorky and I don't know.
You could just say my name.
Questionable in a lot of ways. Besides you. But he did support me in a lot of ways and he was always impressed by my work. Because it was so funny, I'll never forget the one review that he gave me quite a raise because he said I was super underpaid. And that's I was like, God, you're controversial, but I appreciate you. But he ended up telling me that he's like, what I appreciate most about you is I'll ask you for something and you know what I want and beyond what I want. I can't tell you what I want, but you always manage to figure it out. And that's always super impressive. And that made me feel so good. And we just ran out of time.
Oh, shit. Well, sorry, guys. Find a boss that appreciates you, I guess. That's the moral of the story.
Love yourself and try and love your job. That's the
message. Yeah. But anyways, I guess we'll see you in a couple of weeks whenever we are cooking.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
And we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the US or Canada, or 85258 in the UK, or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time,